Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. If you're one of our presenters, please try to just save commentary for the Q&A. Like I said, we're going to try to get through our presentations. We don't want people here more than an hour and a half if, you know, possible. So we're going to try to stick to our timeline. We know it's hard to sit in a chair all night. So with no further ado, I'm happy to start announcing our presenters. And first up, we have a wonderful poem by Mona Mijas titled Poetry. And I will say that I just thought this was a lot of fun and really hit home in a lot of ways for me. So Mona, take it away. I know you're there somewhere. Can't unmute myself. Oh, well, let me fix that for you. That might be a security thing. Okay, there. Can you unmute yourself now?
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry about that. That was our security settings. We get emails from Zoom telling us we need to be more secure. And I'm like, oh, dear, oh, dear. So take it away, Mona.
Okay. Poetry is reverie, say the bards. Always lost in thought. Daydreaming in trance, wool gathering through life, inattention to reality, the intricate dance. Wandering through my life of fantasy, poetry is reverie, say the bards. Impractical, they say, your life in shards, preoccupation with my dream, escape. Visions of writing, musings I create, impressions. Emotions touch my poems. Poetry is reverie, say the bards. Idealistic, they condemn, lightweight. Hallucination, kindly to my soul. Abstraction, ward off the dark naysayers. Embrace ideas, forsake outside control. Poetry is reverie, say the bards.
That was excellent. Thank you, Mona, for sharing that with us. Next up, we have Leah Leach with an excerpt from her wonderful piece titled An Hour Drive with My Brother. Leah?
Thank you.
There you are. Hi.
Hi. I'll try not to read too fast. I spent most of my childhood jealous of my brother. From the moment he arrived from the hospital, I guessed my life would suck from there on. There's an infamous photo of me holding my infant brother, patting him on the head, gritting my teeth, and calculating where I could find the nearest band of gypsies to come and take him away. Now, I don't remember this story, but I was told when I especially wanted attention, I would sit in the family room and I would hurl myself back and forth in the rocking chair. All my anger, all my spite in that rocking chair got it a moving until it would slam into the picture window. Whack, 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 until mom came and I was told to stop and I got in trouble. Anyway, my brother Dan and I would continue this rivalry until it escalated into actual physical fights. One fist fight was because he threw up on my Care Bear. There was one thing we never seemed to fight about, though. Movies. The summer we got a VCR was the best. We had three videotapes, Dan and I on the Bozo Show, Back to the Future, and Return of the Jedi. I swear the invention of the VCR brought Dan and I closer together. To this day, we can still repeat every word of Back to the Future and Return of the Jedi. Movies became a second language to us. We'd be able to ramble off some line from a movie and we'd totally know what each other was talking about. Other kids had pig Latin, but we had movie lines. My friends didn't seem to share the same passion for movies and all things pop culture as my brother and I did. My friends were more interested in boys and gossip and fashion, and I started to miss the days of watching movies over and over until I had every line perfectly memorized. Maybe it was that was the reason I left for California, and I wanted, before I left, to see a movie with my brother. I let him pick the movie. He opted for a Mike Myers flick, So I Married an Ex-Murderer. Now, this is back in the days when I did not laugh at a movie theater out loud, but So I Married an Ex-Murderer was one of those few movies where I remember feeling free to laugh out loud. Maybe it was because there was only a few other people in the theater. Maybe it's because other people were laughing. Or maybe it was because I was with my brother. I moved from Rockford, Michigan to Vacaville, California a few weeks after seeing So I Married an Ex-Murderer with my brother. I loved it in San Francisco. There was lots of great movies that were filmed there. I would go to the Art Deco theaters and see real velvet curtains and painted frescoes. There was only one problem, though. I was seeing movies by myself. New to town and working constantly to afford my new apartment, I didn't have a whole bunch of time to socialize. So I went to see my movie friends. They were there any night of the week, 40 feet high, and there to help me learn and to laugh, to cry, and to remember. I did, however, miss my brother. I should have been maybe missing my friends or my ex-boyfriends or my parents, but I really miss my brother.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Leah. That's just wonderful. And again, that's an excerpt. So if you want the rest of the story, you got to read it in the book. Next up, Mike is going to share his 10 haiku and senryu with us, The Gift of an Hour with Grandkids. It's a collection. They're wonderful. Mike, take it away.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? All right. I'd just like to take one special moment and say thank you so much to Alice and to Sarah. I'm sure everybody's thinking this right now. Really appreciate what you've done for the arts locally. You're so supportive. You're so great. Thank you both very, very much. All right. And now, these are some haiku and senryu I wrote this summer when my children came to live with me and my grandkids were living with me for a few months. So if you can just imagine we're playing and it starts this first haiku. Go light, stop light, go light, stop light, go light, stop, boo boo bear. On the water slide, a little girl wets her pants. Summer breeze, the wind chime of playground swings. Digesting a magazine, literally. Snack time, the Cheerio Kid shoots him down. Potty time again, this time we get 2 chocolate chips. Pedaling a trike around the great expanse of the cul-de-sac. Reading out loud, story time makes the picture perfect. Nap time in soft beds, undercover spies, just teddy bears. And finally, elderberry juice, smoothies, not so smooth on carpeting.
Oh, Mike, thank you. Those are just priceless. They just run the gamut and they're perfect. I love them. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. Okay, next up, Marilyn. Is Marilyn here? Marilyn J. Wolf? Marilyn, are you here? Marilyn. Sarah E., should I read Marilyn's?
Sure, that's just fine. Okay. I was just looking at our participant list. Unless they are the one who is just iPhone, I don't think they are present.
Okay. Well, Marilyn usually has her name on hers, so I'll just go ahead and read hers. I probably won't do it justice. that I want to say one thing about this before I read it. The first part is in a kind of a standard, you know, poetry form. And then the last two, I'm going to say paragraphs, are like prose poetry. So hopefully I can do that justice. It's called Rails and Rough Hands Remembered. We lie in bed and talk about our day or week, or really nothing at all. Your hands are very rough as you rub my back. That means you put in a lot of perms this week, the chemicals eating away at your skin as you stand all day on tired feet. Ready for sleep, you pull the covers over your head. I put my bony little kid knees in your back against your ribs. As we drift off to sleep, it starts to rain, and a train rumbles on the tracks across the road. Roaring away across the road, the freight train passes 100 cars, click, clack, click, clack, click, clack, click, clack, click, clack, over and over and over. So many trains over the years, they no longer wake us. 4 generations in this house have heard these trains. 4 generations have slept through them. Rain pounds against the roof. Somehow the moonlight still manages to softly illumine the room. I hear you breathing even under the covers. You, the train, the rain, the dark, it's safety. For the rest of my life, few things take me back home like that combination. Good job, Marilyn. Yay! And next up, we're going to have Christine Staley present 2 of her paintings, Anima Realized and Anima's Dream. If Christine, are you here? I think you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
Yay! Okay, I'm going to mute myself. So Sarah E. is going to share each of your, visually share each of your paintings. And we just wanted you to just tell a little bit about, you know, these 2 paintings, because we felt like they were the same character in 2 different moments in time. So if you will just give us a little bit of what you sent that we put in the book, that would be great.
Actually, I wrote something in addition to what's posted in the book.
That's fine. Go ahead and
basically,
it's your presentation.
Okay, so it's a story about how the character of Anima was created. So Anima is an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs personality test. She is introverted, feeling, and judgmental, which is one of the rarest personality types on the planet Earth. But according to Gaston Bachelard, author of La Poétique de la Rêverie, Anima is the name of a beautiful female, a lovely being and creator, and the exact opposite of her brother Animus. Anima is a creator of light, beauty, and truth. She is an artist, designer, and interpreter of the beauty of nature on Earth. For eternity, she will tend to her gardens where exotic and regional plants grow side by side. As she raises her hands, her hands hold globes of light, and the earth responds with a flurry of budding flowers, trees, and butterflies. Birds take flight and sing a joyous symphony. Her gardens will become fantastic landscapes, similar to ones found in the works of Grandma Moses or even David Hockney. Now, Anima lived her life caring for other people in her professional career and made a few close friends, but chose to never marry. She cared deeply for her friends and family. She pondered how to show them the light of the natural world. She spent all of her spare time pursuing higher education, but towards retirement, discovered her love of painting. She became an artist by attending 1 wine and canvas event and following art tutorials on YouTube. Now, Anima holds her paintbrushes like those globes of light and finds a way to apply her magical tools to create landscapes, still lifes, and abstracts on canvas. Her home is now packed with art on every wall. When the pandemic hit in 2020, Anima took early retirement due to health concerns. She wished to survive and needed time. Today, she is a cancer survivor and had to fight to keep her vision, her right hand from crippling, and her left arm from skin cancer. Even her blood revolted one cold January day in 2020, as she also developed iron deficiency anemia. Without healthcare services, she would have perished. Thankfully, through vaccination, she avoided COVID-19. The pandemic did reinforce her introverted personality, but Anima still found help and local resources, especially through her local Shepherd Center. Anima had learned the importance of independence from her parents and her Norwegian heritage, but found the importance of community when struggling with her health. As a senior and survivor of the pandemic, she learned her community cares and is as beautiful as the landscape which surrounds her. She is an introvert, but she is not alone. As spring 2022 arrives, Anima will soon enjoy plein air painting within her quaint town of Noblesville in Hamilton County, Indiana. Anima returns to her dreams of flowers and tranquil solitude as night falls. She smells fresh flowers and celebrates her 64th birthday. She is ascending the slope of her soul in a reverie full of tranquility and peace. So that's what I wrote.
That's about wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. We just love those pieces. I just thought they were so beautiful. And I'm sure we'll get a lot of discussion in the Q&A about your artwork. Thank you so much.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.